We're going on this trip. There's going to be other girls. We're down for like crazy fun, threesomes, that sort of thing. Like, let's do it. And she's like, yeah.
They'll talk about how open-minded they are and how freaky they are. And then you put them in a situation and they're like way less cool with it.
I was like, yo, if you want to go fuck the bartender, like, go ahead. It was like, where the fuck are you?
Like, that crazy bitch. And she's like, well, that's like, no, that's not right either. Nothing is happening. Nothing is happening.
I'm not going to see this girl ever again. And that really fucking hurt.
You have to maintain your boundaries and dignity in the face of betrayal, even when it is so painful to do so. It would be so much easier to say, yeah, climb in the bed, baby. We're past this.
Welcome to the Inner Confidence Podcast, where we bring you men's dating and lifestyle advice that doesn't suck. I'm your host, Robbie Kramer, a former collegiate golfer turned poker pro turned finance guy who became obsessed with learning about male-female attraction and dynamics and passionate about teaching men how to improve and optimize their love life. Tune in each week and we'll bring you the latest and greatest strategies on how to get more dates, how to build a thriving social circle that brings the best men and women into your life, how to become a better networker, and how to design a lifestyle that makes all your buddies jealous. If you're new to the show, I recommend you download my first date protocol. It's the best piece of content I have. It'll help you optimize your first date and subsequent dates. And I like to connect with my listeners personally. So if you want to grab a copy of that, please send me a direct message on Instagram. I'm at Robbie_Kramer. Now let's dive into this week's content. What up, guys? We're back. If you listened to our recent podcast, where we talked about double booking and the emotions of being flaked on. Hopefully you did anyways, but that led to a bunch of questions from the guys in the IC community about dealing with difficult emotions in the dating world. And Amir was asking me a bunch of questions about, you know, girls that have done things that made me feel hurt and disrespected, and you know, I acted in many ways that I consult with my clients not to. I was overreactive. I was simpy. I was salty. So I'm excited today because Amir is going to interview me and I'm going to tell a bunch of stories about when I fucked up, which is cool because I don't have to do the heavy lifting. So thanks, brother. Appreciate you interviewing me on this today.
Yeah, well, you know, you're always looking at other people to do your job. I know how it is, Robbie. No, it's funny because the thing that brought this out is I've been seeing a girl for several months, right? Social circle girl, and she set up concrete plans with me, including picking me up from the airport, and then just completely blew me off. And this is somebody I had a lot of trust with, and it just super hurt, right? Like super duper hurt. I had a really bad one day, and in talking to Robbie about it, I realized like I'm not alone. Like I'm not the only one that's experienced this, and it was really helpful to hear some of Robbie's stories of this sort of stuff. So
I got a lot of them.
Yeah. So I guess to start with Robbie, I'd love to hear a story about a time when, you know, a girl you were invested in, I would say, not just like a first date kind of situation, but something you had invested in and felt a connection with, made you feel really like disrespected or even betrayed in a way that you just like didn't expect and didn't see coming. And then I want to hear like your emotions and all that sort of stuff along the way. So does anything come to mind?
For sure. To protect the innocent, we'll call her Carrie. She was
Is she really innocent?
No, I should probably just say her name, but far from innocent. And this was, I think, in 2018. No, 2019. And I was, you know, I was single and mingling. We ended up getting really close really quickly. You know, I think some I love yous were exchanged. And then she basically pulled like a Houdini-ing act for 2 days, just like this flake, no call, no text. We were actually staying together when this happened. Like she just left and like didn't come back. She was like, oh, I'm just going to run out to like, you know, pick something up, and then just didn't come back. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And I, you know, the way I kind of dealt with that, I think is interesting. The red flags leading up to that, I think, are pretty interesting. So that could be a good story.
Yeah, for sure. Let's say just real quick, not a ton of detail here, but how did you meet and how sort of much did you invest that led you to sort of have some trust with her?
So we met through my friend group. She was a friend of a friend. We were having a party. She came to that party. We hit it off. And what was interesting about that first meeting is there was some tension and drama between, you know, my girlfriend who brought her and Carrie. They were apparently friends for maybe like 6 months to a year. But they were like best friends, like super close. But I hadn't really heard about this girl prior from the other girl. So I was already like, it's weird. Like, I've never heard you talk about this girl. And I had a lot of experience at that time, just, you know, hanging out with models and girls. And I always remembered when girls would say, oh, she's my best friend. That was usually like, yeah, that's probably BS. Because it's like everyone was everybody's best friend. So right when they said that, I don't know, maybe it's just the way that they said it or something, but that kind of like clued me into like a little bit of a red flag. And then sure enough, later that night when we're all partying together, they get in like an argument and a little bit of a fight. And then, you know, they both come to me and they're talking shit to each other. So I just kind of found the whole thing fascinating. but that was my first kind of clue in that, like, okay, maybe there's some drama here. So then we end up hanging out. We start hooking up.
Just real quick before you move on, I've noticed that sort of same thing. Actually, this was confusing with my girlfriends, like friends that are women that I have. They would, and we're close, right? Like really close. And they would suddenly have like this new friend that I've never heard of that like is the best in the world, right?
Right.
And like, and then that new friend, that friend like would start being weird and they're like, oh yeah, well, I barely kind of really just met her. And it was like, I've noticed this a lot too. So it's interesting to see that you've seen the same thing.
Right. It's like, and then the story started to change later. Right. So it went from like best friend, we're super close, to like, yeah, actually I'm not that close with her. Right. When things aren't going, you know, the way that they wanted. So what ends up happening is like, you know, after that fight, like, you know, the original girl who I know leaves. And then I start hooking up with Carrie and things are good. Like, you know, we're on this little trip together. So we're spending a lot of time. We drive back from that trip. And then when we get to LA, she was like, hey, I just kind of like, she had this really weird living situation because she was kind of living with that other girl. Right. But she had all of her stuff at this dude's house in the valley. And she was like, hey, can you help me move my stuff? I was going to move it into the other girl's house. We'll call her Laura. Right. I was going to move it into Laura's house. But now after that fight, I don't think we're going to be friends anymore. So, yeah, I just need to put it into storage. I'm like, all right.
So this is after you've hung out with them together and they fought before you go right on this trip. She wants help moving her stuff from her ex's house into your house or into storage. Right. That's the thing.
Because
you're investing quite a lot. You've invested like quite a lot of energy at this. Like you're investing a lot in this girl. So you must feel a building amount of connection and trust. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had hung out basically for like 4 days straight because the party we met at was actually in Sedona, Arizona. And then we drove back together to LA from Sedona. So, you know, we had some like really amazing sex in the RV that we drove back from Sedona, spent the night like traveling together, picking up a trailer, like doing all this stuff. So yeah, I was starting to really feel the connection.
Where does RV sex like rank relative to stuff like there's penthouse sexes at the top, like, bed of a pickup truck.
This is a pretty gangster RV. It was like a 30-foot, you know, like bounder. we were actually stuck in traffic on like the 10 freeway and it was like not moving. So we just had sex in the front of the cab of the RV, but we were above all the cars. So like, I think a few truckers drove by and saw us, but that was it.
Pretty kind of hot. Bed of a pickup truck, by the way, very uncomfortable. Very scary. Very. keep going.
Yeah. So, okay. So we're back in LA. And she was like, all right, let me put my stuff in storage. But she was, you know, like, you know, she was a singer and she, like most, you know, hot girls living in LA, trying to make it as an entertainer, you know, an actress, model, singer, whatever. She didn't have much money. Right. So I was like, listen, I've got a buddy who's got like this big property in Torrance. He's one of my best friends. He's always letting me like store shit there. He's got this huge garage. Like, if you want, why don't you just put your shit in there temporarily, you know? And you can.
So you're like really helping. Later. You're really helping her out like a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, this is going to be my new girlfriend. You know, I was into this girl. Yeah. really into her. So we go to this house in the valley. There's like these dudes there. And I got the vibe that it was an ex-boyfriend that the place was her ex's, but she didn't want to tell me that. So that was another red flag.
Oh, you didn't know it was an ex. I thought she told you that.
She just said it was like a dude friend, like a platonic dude friend. But I'm like, this doesn't quite add up. And then it was like four dudes living there. The dude wasn't there that, you know, her friend. but the way that she was interacting with the other guys made me think like this was definitely her ex, I wouldn't have given a shit, right? Like, it's normal for her to like live with the ex, but it's like, why lie about it? You know? So does that all make sense so far?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you met this girl, fell for her hard. Because of that connection, you felt like comfortable investing, and you were kind of seeing some red flags but ignoring them.
Yeah. That's pretty much exactly right. You know, and I was living a very sort of you know, open-minded lifestyle back then. And this girl also seemed like she was down for that. You know, like the girl that we met through was a girl that I had hooked up with before and she didn't mind. And, you know, we were also, so the thing that was on my mind was I had a trip planned to the Maldives, a party that I was actually throwing, for, you know, basically I was supposed to leave like 3 days after we did the move. And because things were going so well with this girl, I was like, I want to bring her on that trip. So then we went to the passport office because her passport was expired. We got an expedited passport for her. We're going through that process. We missed the flight because the passport didn't get in time. So that cost me like, you know, probably $1,500. But we sorted it all out. We get her stuff, obviously, to my buddy's place, and we fly to the Maldives. In the Maldives.
So one thing that I'm hearing that I think is interesting, it sounds like you were investing a lot in her and solving her problems. Do you feel like she was investing anything back, or was this just like a great ride for her?
I guess she was investing back in just in terms of her, just her way of being, her behavior. She, you know, she was very sweet. She was very feminine.
Emotionally. Very submissive. She was emotionally in connection. Yeah. So she was, and then, okay, got it. So you felt like you didn't feel like it was asymmetric.
No. And actually she even met my mom for a second. Because on the drive back from Sedona through LA, I had to stop in Newport Beach at my folks' house and like drop off some stuff. And like, she met my mom for like a hot second. I felt like that was like a too soon sort of meeting, but, and my mom obviously didn't know what was happening, but like my mom can be, you know, she's like a big personality. She's a Jewish mom, very talkative. So yeah, another piece of data, if that matters.
Do you feel in retrospect you were overinvested in this girl?
No, because I was very clearly not going to be committing to her. And I knew the second she showed up on this Maldives trip where there was an insane amount of competition that I wouldn't really have to worry about that, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So now you solved all her problems. You got her passport. And now she's coming to the Maldives.
She's coming to the Maldives. Yeah. I guess looking back, if you just look at it in terms of like an investment, yeah, I was definitely more invested than her at that point. Cause like you said, I was solving her problems. I was doing a lot of work. Well, she's just kind of like chilling and, you know, kicking back.
She made you feel good about it, but you were still doing the work.
Yeah. I mean, she did pull her weight a little bit. She found some K to bring to the Maldives.
Always appreciated.
Always appreciated. She had like a veterinarian friend. And
so. Love veterinary friends.
Yep. But that was about it. Should we talk about the Maldives next?
Yeah. I mean, so the specifics of the Maldives trip maybe don't matter so much, like, except for any red flags you saw and any sort of further investment you made that made you feel closer, right?
Yeah, there was one instance that was important. You know, so we're on this trip. It's a crazy party environment. you know, the ratio is heavily stacked in me and my buddies who were on the trip's favor, right? So I knew that would kind of be taxing for her. Like, you know, we like hooked up with some other girls. We had some fun like that. And I tried to keep the connection really established with her. I think at one point, though, she got and I was brutally dead honest about everything. Like, we're going on this trip. There's going to be other girls. If you're down for, like, you know, some crazy fun threesomes, that sort of thing, like, let's do it. And she's like, yeah, I'm totally down for that. I love that. I love chicks. And I guess at one point she got really jealous, but she didn't like mention anything. She tried to hide it. But we had set up this very open sort of communication, this open dialogue. I'm like, anytime you feel jealous, anytime you feel anything, I want you to tell me. Like, and she was doing that. And I felt like that was possible, but I don't remember exactly what happened. It was like, it seemed to me like there was really not a reason for it. There wasn't like a specific instance that I could put my finger on and be like, I did something that made her like incredibly jealous or I did something wrong. But she got clearly like salty towards me. And then she like made sure I saw her like get on the little dinghy boat with the bartender to like go run an errand to like, you know, pick up fish from like,
nobody we're on has a good sex yacht. In a dinghy. Nobody has good sex on a dinghy. It's just like,
well, it wasn't a dinghy.
It wasn't dinghy sex has got to be below RV sex.
It was big enough to be like a ski boat, but not big. It could fit like six people. Right. So not quite a dinghy, but not like your boat, for example. There's like not even like a comfortable seat. Just basically like, you know, you get what I'm saying. Like a little, almost like a fishing boat. Right. So, but she made it very obvious that she was like going off with this bartender who was like this Maldivian dude who was definitely like the most attractive worker on the boat. But it's not like I was threatened by this guy or anything. I was just like, this is clearly a manipulative tactic to try to make me jealous. Right. You know, it was just weird. So
did it work though? Were you jealous?
I was upset that she was like lying. I knew she was lying.
Yep.
I was like, yo, if you want to go fuck the bartender, like, go ahead. You know, like, if that's what you want to do, like, I was, you know, very open-minded.
If you want bartender dick in a dinghy.
Yeah. Like, it was kind of embarrassing for her that, like, she would want to do that, you know? So I was like, oh, it's not going to really. I mean, I saw it clearly as a ploy to, you know, for her to try to, like, as a manipulative tactic. And then she was also lying about it. So that was the obvious, the next huge red flag.
Yeah. I mean, I've actually seen this before, though, where when you first meet a girl, they're trying to guess what they think you want to hear. So they'll talk about how open-minded they are and how freaky they are. And then you put them in a situation and they're like way less cool with it than they had advertised. And it's because like they were trying to be what they thought you wanted to hear them be. You think that might be some of that?
Some of it. Yeah. You know, and this was definitely, you know, but this probably happened on like day three out of the 7-day trip. And prior to that, like everything was great. Like we were falling more in love, having these fun experiences, like on this amazing sort of vacation and paradise. Literally, we were on like private, you know, desert islands and the one.
So this trip is actually really good, except for this. Like you guys are getting closer and closer and closer, and you're feeling more secure in your attachment with her.
Yeah.
Okay.
I felt like this is awesome. I found like the perfect girlfriend who's down for like, you know, for us to play around and have fun and. And she's on the same page. She's not super jealous. I wasn't super jealous, right? So it seemed like a really good fit for what I was looking for, what she was looking for. It really just seemed like I had found someone who was mature enough to deal with some of these tough emotions and live this sort of very sexual lifestyle that I was interested in.
So there's a few red flags along the way total, but overall, you're sort of a few weeks into spending a lot of time with this girl and you're sort of falling for her more and more, and it seems she is too.
Correct. And it felt very sort of even on the emotional investment level.
So then now let's go to the point where, you know, she betrayed you. Tell me exactly sort of what happened. I assume it's after the trip. Yes.
Well, so what happened after that incident where she went on the dinghy with the bartender is like, you know, we talked about it. I knew she was still kind of lying, but we got past it. And then the next 4 days of the trip was like, total couple vibes. Like we didn't hook up with any other girls. It was just like me and her, like having this like romantic getaway. And then the flight, the trip back from the Maldives, it took like 36 hours almost to get back because we had to connect through Dubai and then, no, sorry, connect through Hong Kong. So oh we like God. Spent a night in like one of those, we had sex in one of those like airport sleeping quarters where you can like rent the rooms by the hour.
We got to rank all these places. There's
Yeah, it was so weird. We connected from Dubai and then Hong Kong and then, you know, flew across the Pacific back to LA. But like this sleeping quarter thing was actually, it was like some of the hottest sex ever. I don't know what it was about it. It was like, you know, you kind of like get the room and they like know what you're doing, but they're like, oh, it's just for changing. And there's like a shower in there and a bed. And it was
perfect.
It was crazy. Yeah. You know, and then we're on the flight, spending time together, cuddling up. It's like I think at that point she told me she loved me. And, you know, she was so happy to like start our life together in LA. So, you know, so far so good, right?
So you guys are like, you're going all in here, like pretty fast. Oh
yeah. Yeah, I'm okay. All in, you know, yeah. And I definitely had a tendency to do that to an unhealthy degree, but yeah. You know.
Even so, that was like, you know, 4 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. So I mean, you've obviously grown since then, but that shows even like being at a pretty advanced level, that sort of tendency to just like fall for somebody and like go in too fast, it still gets you.
Oh man, I mean, it's like those emotions are like the most powerful drugs in the world. You know, like when you're spending time and there's like, you know, you're having fun, you're partying, right? Like it's things go 0 to 100 real quick. You know, and then you add these other elements where you're in a very sort of sexual situation and it's like you're talking through difficult emotions. So yeah, we were like fully on board. So
you were like, I mean, all the like love pheromones and hormones and stuff like that were there. So you're fully irrational at this point. Yes.
Totally. However, I'm thinking I'm totally rational.
Totally.
Right. I'm like, this is great. Like, you know, she's on board. Everything's good. You know, there were those little instances of red flags and whatever. Right. Like, you know, I subjected her to this crazy party and she was, you know, we left the party a lot closer than when we, you know, when we went to the Maldives. And I'm like, if a relationship can survive that, it can survive anything. That was my conclusion. Right.
Got it. I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean, if you can bring your girl on a boat full of 20 other models and, you know, hook up with them and have her not be jealous and have that be cool. It's like you found the unicorn in my mind. That's what I was thinking. But yeah. So we get back to LA and we go back to my buddy's place and, you know, we shower, I think take a little nap. And around like 6 or 7 p.m., she was like, hey, I need to run out and meet up with a friend and like record some music. Or it was like, no, it wasn't that. I need to like pick something up. I need to get my stuff. There was like some extra stuff that she needed to get in like Malibu. And I was like, all right, do you need a ride? And she's like, no, it's cool. Like, I'm just going to like grab it. And,
she needed to get, you know, stuffed in Malibu.
Yeah, stuffed. Right. So I'm like, all right, that's a little sketchy. Like, you know, so she Ubered there. Right. And then we had plans, you know, this was at like 6. I think we had plans later that night to hang out with my buddy who we were staying at. And like he arranged, there was like some party happening that was going to start like 11 o'clock. Right. And she was basically going to Uber there, grab the stuff, Uber back. So, you know, like 10 o'clock rolls around. I still hadn't heard from her. I was like, yo, what's up? You know, no response. Doesn't show up that night. Doesn't come back to where we're staying all next day. Nothing. Right. Next night, still nothing. And at this point, I'm starting to worry. I'm like,
well, you must be also super embarrassed. I mean, because your friend's like, you're staying at your friend's place and like he's going to meet her. This is probably, there's probably a lot of hard emotions. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, he had met her before we left, but still, it was like, it was just super embarrassing. It was super weird. Like, you know, I was trying to play it cool and not like text her or call her, but I was also concerned that something had happened. Like, it's so weird and out of character for someone to just Houdini, like this? Like all of her stuff's here. Like what the hell is going on? So
how did you see her feeling all those emotions? Like you must've been, I mean, talk to me about like what you felt like when that was happening and what are some of the things you tried to do to handle it? Like just what was that like?
I was really distraught. You know, I couldn't concentrate on anything. I was just constantly thinking about her and thinking like, how should I try to communicate with her? Like I was very concerned about looking over invested. I was very concerned about, you know, cause I had some trauma prior to that from, you know, feeling over invested in girls and like, you know, I didn't want to seem like the psycho who was like, where are you? Right. But at the same time, it was like, where the fuck are you? Right. What the hell right. is this? You said you're going to be gone for a couple hours and now you're gone for two straight nights. Like,
well, and so like literally a few hours before you felt like you guys were in love and you're like going to be together. And now you're in this place of like, she's gone and you're trying to figure out how to deal with, I'm sure you felt a sense of betrayal. And you're probably embarrassed because your friends know this is happening, right? There's probably some shame there, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're also trying to figure out like literally tactically, like how do I interact with her? Because I don't want to seem this way, but I suspect I was just betrayed or lied to in some way. Cause like, what's the possible story that would explain this besides I got hit by a car, right?
Exactly. Like no text, right. No call, no communication.
Right. Right.
Zero. And
and you have to sit in that feeling for like a long time, trying not to react. Right.
Yeah.
How did you manage that? How did you manage that? That like need to like desire to react, but not doing it.
Well, I leaned on my friends, you know, I called my buddy, my best friend, and he had a ton of experience with, you know, these sort of things, girls betraying him. And he actually had an ex fiance, with the same name. And he's like, dude, this girl is exactly like my Carrie. And like, she pulled this shit on me. She is like such a narcissist, crazy, you know, and like, it was very helpful just to talk to him. You know, we spent hours on the phone, I think both days, you know, talking about like sort of personality disorders and trying to make sense of her behavior, you know, psychoanalyzing everything. But it was just like being able to talk about it with a buddy instead of just having it fester in my mind was incredibly helpful.
Well, shout out to the Inner Confidence community, because that's exactly the situation that I had last week, which prompted this whole discussion. That's exactly what I did. I mean, those guys, especially the guys in the Brown Belt Lounge, like really propped me up, because there were some reactive moments, you know, nobody saw it but y'all. So thank you.
Yeah, man. It's like, because you can try to talk to like your normal friends about the stuff, but I feel like they're not really going to understand unless they've been through these situations with some of these,
or they'll say they'll frequently just like demonize her, right? And it's actually not helpful. Be like, that crazy bitch, and she's like, well, that's like no, that's not right either, right?
Right.
Like it's more just like, you know, can you just like talk to me, and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there was definitely some of that going on, but also a lot of self reflection. Like, you know, what are you gonna do when she gets in touch with you? Like, how does this make you feel? And at the time, I was really struggling with keeping my own sense of dignity with women, because I was kind of in a transition or a turning point where I was getting all of my like personal validation through, you know, through women. Like when I hooked up with a beautiful girl, I felt very validated. I felt very like, you know, confident, and it was a very unhealthy way to get validation. Right. And I would constantly, you know, like lose my self-respect, lose my dignity to get sex. Right. Like I would, and I didn't realize at the time how that was stopping me from women who had self-respect, who had a lot of dignity, who they would see that. And I was like, how are they going to see that? Like, they don't know what I'm doing, but it's like, they can feel it. There's different sort of red flags that if you have self-respect and if you have dignity and if you have boundaries and that sort of thing, like you can just tell when you meet someone who does and who doesn't. But that was kind of what I was dealing with leading up to it. And then when this happened, I was like, all right, like right when she didn't come back the first night, I was already like, I'm not going to see this girl ever again. And that really fucking hurt because I was in love with her.
Yeah. Not, were you saying you're not going to see her ever again because you, your dignity, your self-respect required that, or because you thought she was never going to see you again? It was the first.
No,
the
she had to see me again. She had to get all of her stuff. You know, it was like,
but your self-respect required for that. You say she shouldn't get to see me again after treating me like this. Right.
Exactly.
And you were at a point in your life where that was the most important thing to you.
Yeah. I had kind of just turned, I mean, this is what allowed me to turn that corner and say no to the first time. Cause in the past I would just let those things go. You know, I'd let them apologize.
So you would sort of sacrifice that dignity. How did, once you made this change, how did women respond to you when they realized that you could not be manipulated with sex because your self-respect is more important?
Oh, it was a pretty profound shift. You know, I could tell that the ones who I previously kind of felt like were out of my league treated me differently. I wasn't chasing. I wasn't investing, over-investing. It really kind of opened the door for like a new level where I felt like I was worthy of, you know, both the most beautiful women and the most, you know, beauty, not just outside, but inside too, like a really good person who has boundaries, who has self-respect, who, you know, has that integrity and dignity. And I really just didn't get it. Cause I had wingmen, like my buddy I mentioned, he was always kind of harping on me. He's like, dude, you have no self-respect. You're basically like, you know, you're staying up all night trying to hook up with girls at parties. And like the other girls see it and they just think you're kind of a loser. Like the really high value girls see that. And I'm like, well, how do they see? They don't know like what happened. But, you know, he was right. And it took me like two, three years to kind of actually realize that. And it wasn't so much, I think, about those specific instances. It was more I really like saw that this was an opportunity where if I wanted to put myself first and maintain my self-respect, like there was nothing that she could possibly say that would fix, you know, what she did. It was just such a huge red flag. And then if I would allow that to stand, or even if she did own up to it and she's like, actually, I went and I hooked up with an ex and I was there for two nights and having crazy sex. Like, even if I forgave that, like, I mean, I'm just like, that's the most simpy shit ever. And it would just open.
So basically you were, it sounds like you were at a place where you were starting to recognize like you're starting to take your self-worth very seriously. And you recognize that even though you're in a really bad position with this woman and how she treated you, and there's really no explanation, even if she was hooking up with other people, she still could have texted you and said, hey, I'm not going to be back. Right. Yeah. There's really no explanation for that behavior that's acceptable. But you recognize as actually an opportunity to increase your self-respect and dignity, because you could say, so that's fine. You're never going to fuck me again. Right. And, and then you could grow inside yourself in terms of your confidence that you really are worth something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it.
One thing that I noticed when this has happened to me, it's happened to me a couple times, not often, but something like this happened a couple times where I felt really like I was starting to really trust a girl and feel feelings for her. And then, you know, like you just get a complete something like this, although yours is way worse, right? One of the things that I found myself doing is thinking over and over again, like, what could explain this that like isn't terrible, right? Because the terrible ones are obvious, right? And I was just like what explanation? Did you find yourself doing that? Is like trying to find explanations that made sense?
That's what I couldn't stop doing that. Like I couldn't do anything else. Right. It was like my brain was hijacked with those thoughts. And like I couldn't even I like couldn't even eat. I couldn't sleep those nights. You know, it was like fucking torture. Like what do you do when there's someone you care about is like has Houdini'd and you have no explanation? You're trying to think of like all the different scenarios. They're all terrible. Right. Cause it's like either she's dead or she's a horrible partner. That's it. Those are the only two scenarios.
So this right? is this is the place as things going around your head. Yeah. So now what happens? You hear from her. What happens?
So she like calls me and she tells
me this. Straight call, no text, just a straight call.
I think maybe she texted first and I didn't respond. Oh, yeah. So she texted first. I didn't respond. And then she calls me. And
by the way, this is the exact same pattern I've gotten. First a text as if almost nothing happened. Right.
Yeah.
And exactly. Then no response. And then a phone call. Right.
It was like, hey,
she's first just like,
you?
Am I going to be able to slide this shit through? So you're just going to like, right. that's the text, you know?
Hey, babe, where are you? What you doing? Right. It was like one of those. I remember I was at a gas station, like pumping gas. And I got that text and I immediately called my buddy and I'm like, dude, she just fucking texted me like nothing happened. And he's like, yep, that's exactly what she was going to do.
Every time.
Yep.
So predictable.
So then she calls me, you know, I don't pick up the first one. The next one I pick up and I'm just like, well, what's going on? You know? And she tells me like, oh, I went and then we started recording a song. And then like my agent called me and they wanted me to stay all day and record more songs the next day. And it like, I'm really excited because I think I'm going to get this contract. And you know,
so she's basically going like this, like nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you don't think it would have been like normal to text me any of this or just send me a, you know, call me. Hey, not going to make it later. You know, had this amazing business opportunity come up. Like, oh, well, you know, my phone died. And I'm just like, okay.
Oh, the phone died thing is like, oh my God. It's like, so you get it so often. It's like, really? And none of your friends had phones either. And there was no power. And you didn't have a computer so you could log into Instagram and fucking message me there? Like,
right.
Nothing.
Nothing. Couldn't do it.
Okay.
Sorry.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That's totally reasonable.
Totally reasonable. It's so, like, the audacity to even say any of that shit. You know?
No, dude, that's like, that's such a like, hey, look, every guy I've ever been with has taken my horse shit, and as long as I had sex with them after, they sort of let it fly. You're gonna do that, right?
Right.
Yeah. And Robbie is like, turns out I respect myself now. Yeah. What'd you do?
Yep. So I was like, well, you know, your shit's at Todd's. Good luck. You know, at my buddy's place.
Good for you. Good for you, bro.
Yeah. And she was like, well, what do you mean? You're gonna be there? I'm like, nope. And then I hung up, and I think I hopped a flight to New York.
How did that feel?
I mean, it felt really good to just now she had to sit with that, you know. So
yeah.
So that felt good. The like revenge, like now you get to, you know, deal with these shitty emotions. You know, obviously not the same, but like I just needed to. I needed to get the hell out. Luckily, you know, I had a spot in New York where I was splitting my time and my buddy was there and I was just kind of able to just, you know, unplug and go there and chill and get my mind off. But it was, you know, it was like the pain of any breakup, right? And that shit takes, it's like I found that breakups kind of take at least an equal amount of time where you've been together if you're really in love with a girl, right? So
yeah.
You know,
no, that's really good. One of the other things I think is really important here, and this is when you're enforcing boundaries with somebody, and that's what this is. You're saying, this is how I'm going to be treated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or not treated. If you're treated this way, I'm going to leave. That's a boundary. That's a true boundary. You do whatever you want, but I'm going to do what I want if you treat me this way, right? So you're enforcing a boundary with somebody. The person is having the boundary enforced. Their frame tends to be, oh my God, this is so whatever. But what they don't see on the other side is it also hurts you. Right? Like you're also were in love with this person and now you're having to set these boundaries with this person and you'd much rather be cuddled up on the couch with that person is how it feels to me. And so I'm not only having to enforce my boundaries, I'm having to enforce the enforcement of my boundaries. And like, then they come back and it's like, hey, look, like this shit goes both ways. If you think I wouldn't rather just be in bed with you and that's not happened, like you're wrong. Right? Like,
oh
but
yeah.
In this case, the boundary was met. You were done. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm guessing, I mean, you've got a kid, so I'm guessing it's like when you punish your kid, like you probably feel really bad, right?
Oh, so yeah. Like I feel so guilty afterwards too, but even though it's the right thing, I mean, I had to pull him away from the back of the boat. He's gonna put his foot in the propeller. I still feel guilty about it, you know.
It's so hard to like to set those boundaries and actually like stick to them, because you know the drive is to just want to like, and I'm kind of like a, you know, nice guy. I use the dumb air quotes there because what I mean is like a recovering people pleaser, right? I'm a recovering nice guy. So it's like, all I want is to just like fix a situation, go back to peace, make up, like just say, baby, everything's going to be okay. Right. But you just can't do that. Right.
Well, the cost is your dignity. And that's a lot more valuable once you have real self-respect.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you left, you flew back to your buddies. What did she call you? What happened?
Yeah, I mean, she got back to my buddy's place, sent me a bunch of nudes, you know.
Oh, the nudes. Oh my God. That's the best. That's the best. When they massively violate your boundaries, here's the playbook. First, let's try to pretend nothing happened and just like see if we can move forward, right? That doesn't work. Let's gaslight him, right? Let's convince him that his accusation, that's the problem. Not that like she fucking disappeared for 2 days, right? And then once she can't gaslight him and flip the script on him, like, okay, now let's first apologize.
She tried to apologize.
Oh yeah, then you get the apology at some point, mm-hmm. and then nudes come somewhere after that, right? Right.
Nudes come after the apology doesn't work.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. So the playbook is so fucked. And the reason they have this playbook is because it's worked with every other guy they've ever met. They've never met a guy with dignity, right?
Right. It's worked on 99. It works on, like, if they're hot, it's worked on every guy, right? And then it's like, you know, then the guy proposes after. It's like, and then she ends up hooking up with her tennis
player. Dude, I've walked out on dates with really, like, with models where they said just, like, they were just, like, really mean or attacking. I was like, okay, we're done here. And the look on their face that guy would just leave them standing there, like, is blown away. It's like, you haven't met a guy who values himself, right?
Right. It's so hard to find for women, you know? It's like, and also, you know, I think it goes both ways. It's just very hard to find people with that level of self-respect in general. Right.
Well, and for guys in particular, it seems like sex shortcuts their self-respect.
Oh yeah.
And you have guys who, like, if I said anything disrespectful to them, they'd pull me out on the street and want a fist fight. Right. Mm-hmm. But then you offer them sex and that you can say whatever the hell you want. Right. And that, I think, is what is the core of a lot of the issues that I see with some of the guys, even guys, my friends in Austin, you'll see them doing that. You talked about staying up all night. Like you'll see them like sort of following the girls from place to place, you know, hoping to hook up or whatever, staying up 5, 6 a.m. and then talking all week about how miserable they are and they never want to do it again. They do it again each time and they're miserable when it doesn't work. And when they do get laid, they're elated, you know, and you just watch this cycle and it just comes from this inability to sort of say like, yeah, I'm tired now. I'm going to go home. And if one of these women is interested in me, I'm sure something will happen at some point, but I'm not going to push past all of my boundaries and what's healthy, hoping one of them will get drunk enough that we then do something. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah. You're basically putting this sexual experience at the very top of your like hierarchy of needs, right? Like, 'cause if I get this, I'm validated. I'm, you know, worthy of these feelings that I want to believe about myself. And then maybe you're also in this fantasy world where if you hook up with this girl, maybe you'll be in this amazing relationship and your life will be perfect, right? There's a huge sort of story to unravel there. But what you're doing is you're squandering everything else. You're chasing this girl around. You're unconsciously telling her and everybody else that's around that like what's healthy for me isn't important. What's important is me getting this outcome with this person, right? Versus it's like, no, go to bed, focus on what you need to do to become a better guy. And if she's genuinely interested, that will just make her more interested.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the other thing, Robbie, I think that's to add on to that is other women notice that behavior right away. Right.
Oh, yeah.
So they didn't like, I would talk to me about how, you behave when you went, you know, bottle service or when you threw a party, because the thing that almost every guy does and what I see is they just kind of follow the girls around, right? They'll like, oh, the girl goes over here. Now they suddenly need to go over there too. Right. Like,
right.
And the one they're interested in, definitely they do that. And I now pick up on that thanks to your help and it's sort of understanding that stuff. I actually have never been that way. So that's sort of a natural talent of mine. Very few natural talents. But I now see that, and the other women see that immediately, right? And so I'm curious, what's your body language, what's your positioning when you're in these situations? And then how did other women react to that once you started shifted your vibe?
Yeah, I think it's very obvious to women which guys are giving off chasing energy, which guys are following girls around that they're interested in versus which guys are not doing that. Like which guys are entertaining themselves, enjoying their, you know, the company of their friends, and they're not, you know, putting that sexual experience with, you know, a new girl that they chased at like that high level, because there is like a huge sort of mental payoff in this bankrupt idea that like I can go chase this girl, game this girl, win her over, sleep with her, and then I feel like, you know, I'm the man, right? So it's like they're investing in this ability or this skill set to like do that, but it's kind of the wrong thing in the first place, because they don't realize the overinvestment that's, you know, that's baseline in that agenda, right? Once I saw it, I couldn't not see it. It was so right. Night and
it's
day.
So up. That's why thirsty guys, it's like they're covered in glow in the dark paint, right? Like right. Everybody knows it except for them, right? Like everybody can tell except for them. It's like one of those things you can't pretend. It's just like, it's obvious. Like you can tell just their body language when they're talking to a pretty girl, they're all like leaned over, you know?
Yeah.
Just like everything about it. And you start seeing it and you're like, ew.
Dude, you see it a lot with the people that I think it's the most sort of gross with is you see it with these uber rich guys who are kind of like the sugar daddies, you know, hey, come on my yacht, come to this expensive dinner. I'm going to tell you all about my wine collection. Right. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's just so pathetic. And I mean, women read this like before a guy even opens his mouth most of the time. You can just watch. 100%. You can just watch his body language, see what he's doing. You know, if you're at a nightclub doing bottle service thing, you can just see which guys are like actually having fun, enjoying themselves, chill. And the guys who are just like chasing women, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of energy to suss that out. But yeah, once I kind of made that shift, I just started getting treated differently by both men of dignity and self-respect and women. So it was a pretty radical level up.
When you were making that shift, so you're sitting in these places of attraction. By the way, I think a lot of guys who don't know how to meet women or don't know how to be attractive women, they think the hard part is emotionally, the hard part is meeting women. I actually think the emotionally hard part is more this stuff, is like this sort of like you have to maintain your boundaries and dignity in the face of betrayal, even when it is so painful to do so. And it would be so much easier to say, yeah, climb in the bed, baby. We're past this, right? I think that is the biggest test.
Yeah, this is where having abundance is so important, and having options. Because if you don't have options, and that's the hottest girl you've ever been with, and you know, she's your wifey to be, you're not gonna make that call to, you know, you're just not going to do what I did, or, you know, you're going to accept her apology and sacrifice your self-respect. And now you're fucked, right? Because, you know, you're pretty much fucked there.
Well, and so the thing about it is, and so this goes back to, there's a girl you've met. She's a very smart girl, very kind, very curious. She actually listens to this podcast, had a deep conversation with her about monogamy. And mm-hmm. I explained to her, that's actually what I want. However, like if I shut down my options, right? So to be monogamous with somebody and I'm wrong, right? Like now I'm in this position of having to enforce my boundaries and get my needs met. And I have to do it without options. And it could take me 6 months to get options again. Right. And so it's a huge decision to shut that down, because I could easily get trapped in a place where I'm being violated, my boundaries are being violated, my needs aren't getting met, because I've taken all our options around the table. And it's like each time I have to enforce my boundaries, I realize that the alternative is like just being alone, right?
Right.
And that is so, so hard. And that's why the decision for a man to be monogamous, it's a lot easier for a girl to stand up some leash. She might not love the guys at first, but at least she has some, she can get attention. For a man to decide to be monogamous and take other options off the table, I think is the cost is a lot higher, because now every time he has to enforce his boundaries, like he has to ask the question, like, what am I going to do if this doesn't work out? It could take a long time before I feel love or affection again, right?
Yeah, that's such a good point, because, you know, as a man to be in a place of choice and to have those options, you've got to stand up a funnel, right? And that is not easy. That takes a long time, a lot of energy, a lot of investment. And once you shut that funnel down, every day it's down, it gets less and less, you know, valuable. And it's like, eventually it basically gets to the point where, you know, that social circle or that funnel is basically no longer producing other options. And you got to start from square one, right? And that probably only takes 6 months to a year for that to happen. So you make the wrong choice. You know, it's like you got to go and rebuild the entire thing.
You lose that time in your life, plus the time it takes for you to reestablish the funnel, plus the great girls that you've missed out on because you made a wrong bet. So now let's go back to the red flags along the way. So you felt that you saw these red flags along the way, but you also had these feelings, right? Now, right. What do you wish you had done differently before you were betrayed? Now, in retrospect.
That's a really good question. I think taking her on that trip to the Maldives in the first place was a mistake. I think I was kind of following my previous patterns of investing too fast. you know, had the trip planned, I should have just gone on the trip. I knew I was coming back to LA. She was living in LA. Like, there was no rush to like make this work. But I had been in situations like dating is so timing dependent. Right? It's like the odds of her not meeting another cool dude are zero while I'm gone. Right? And it's just a question of, is that new relationship energy going to be stronger than what we had built? So, you know, I didn't want that to happen.
And to allow that to happen, you have to have sort of like a really high self-worth and knowledge that like, well, you can find somebody at least as good easily. Right?
Right. Yes. That was probably playing a role in it too. Also, there was, you know, I had a lot of, you know, great potential options that I set up on that trip. Cause I, you know, curated the guest list and there were some awesome girls that were coming. And that, you know, I ended up dating one of those girls after, but that kind of slowed down. It was just kind of like a big loss across the board because I ignored the red flags. It's a waste of time.
So you wish you hadn't taken on this trip. So looking back, each time you encountered a new red flag, what do you wish you had done after you had encountered that red flag? Do you wish you had never seen her again? Do you wish you had obviously not ignored it? Like, what do you wish you had done differently? And I'm not talking about specifically, like, I mean, more like each time you encounter a red flag, what would you do differently now knowing what, like being your fullness, right? What sort of general actions would you take?
Well, I mean, I felt like I took inventory, right? I was definitely aware of these things. I was discussing these things with the guys in the group and with my buddy as mentioned. I was aware that what I was doing was pretty risky. I even mentioned, you know, to the guys in the group, like, I'm going to bring this girl to the Maldives. Am I crazy? And they're like, probably, but at the same time, I get it. Right. So it was like, I had a lot of help along the way. I had a lot of support. So I went into everything. I made a bunch of conscious choices. So I don't think that would have really changed. Does that answer the question? Or
so my thinking based on what you're saying is that each time you encounter a red flag is just dial back the throttle just a little bit and make sure other options. Because I'm not saying don't take her on the trip. I'm not saying you were dumb for doing that. I'm saying even on the trip, when you had the red flag with the thing, it's just don't go more aggressively in at that point when you had a red flag and don't go all the way out either necessarily, but like, let's just like turn the throttle back. Let's just make sure that like my other options know I exist. Maybe make sure she knows that I have other options too. Right. But like, let's just turn the gas down a little bit and the gas can go back on. Right.
Yeah.
The gas can go back on. That's the great thing about it. Right. Right. So
well, I felt that, like,
that's the answer, my answer there.
Yeah. And that is the answer I would suggest. And that's what everyone should do. I felt like due to the constraints of that trip, that wasn't an option for me. You know, we're flying back together. Like that was the risk in the first place. Like once she's got that passport, once she's on the plane with me, it's like, we're spending that time together for sure. And those feelings are just going to, you know,
well, that goes back to this is one of the hardest. I think going on a trip, you're trapped, right?
Yep.
And if their mood shifts for whatever reason, they're not the person you thought they were, something happens, and you've invested so much of yourself in this thing, that really sucks. That's the worst, yeah. Right? And so we actually had to come up in the Brown Belt Lounge. One of your brown belts, I won't say his name, was planning a trip, and there was a girl he was super into, and it was a very nice trip he was doing. It was to some Caribbean destination. And he was like, you know, what do I do? Like, how do I interact with her? And you kind of asked him a few questions and you said, substantially, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, like, you're giving her way too much power. You don't have enough trust with this woman yet. Like, she could go either direction. And if it doesn't go your way, you're going to be screwed. And so you could tell the rest of the story from there, what you advised him.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You know, it was almost identical situation, except he was coming from a significantly worse inner game perspective, I think, because, you know, he's like essentially setting up this trip with the major goal of getting with this girl. And they have a history where she's kind of, you know, huge red flag. She's done a lot of things to like diss him in the past. And my advice is always like, just let this girl go. Like, she's a waste of time. And now he's got a trip on the line and he's, you know, if they things work out, the trip is good. And if not, it's bad. I'm like, dude, this is a recipe for disaster. You know, do everything you can to have other girls there, have other options that, you know, allow you to pivot if things aren't going your way.
Well, I think he listened to you. I think he did invite some other girls and have a few other options, which I'm actually interested to hear the conclusion.
Yeah, he told me that the trip went amazing. So I don't know if that means they got together or maybe someone else.
About that is the psychology of having the other options means his inner game is going to be better when he's around her. And she's going to sense that. She's going to sense that he's coming from a place of solid confidence and not neediness and not hope. But, you know, going to my story that served this whole line of questioning, what I actually did, I held my when she finally came back around, I punched through all of her gaslighting, whatever. Eventually she sort of admits and she apologizes fully, stops fucking around, gives me the whole thing. And that's great, right? But one, she's revealed stuff to me about her, who she is, that she can't I can take the apology, but she can't take back this knowledge that she gave me about who she is and what she's capable of, right? And I factor that. And two, now everything slows down, right? And I was thinking about taking her on a trip to Vegas, right? Like, and everything slows down now. Yep. I'm checking in with some of the other girls. Got to make sure that like they still know I'm around, right? Like, and I think that's really the only healthy way. And in that frame, although it still really, 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 really hurts, at least you don't betray yourself and your self-confidence and your self-worth by allowing somebody to violate your boundaries and not asserting them. And because I think ultimately the cost is yourself.
Yeah, for sure. One thing that what you just said reminded me of, you know, before I met my wife, I did a lot of research on how happy couples got together. And the thing I saw over and over and over was a reporting that it was easy and it just worked from the beginning, right? There weren't trust issues. There weren't boundaries being broken. It was just smooth and easy, no drama. And that's how it remained, right? We were both honest. We both had integrity. We talked about things that were coming up. Things escalated in a healthy way, sometimes fast, sometimes slow, but it was just a steady, consistent, you know, nice thing. And like, when I look at all of the relationships that I had that failed, it was always like there were these things that like came up in the process. And I'm not saying some couples don't work out when they get over the stuff. People can change, but it's, you know, it's pretty interesting about, you know, that consistency that I saw.
Typically, they're the best version of themselves when you meet them, right?
Right.
Have you ever read Gottman?
Yeah, that's actually what I was. Exactly.
Well, this guy, mm-hmm. you guys should read him. He literally studied couples over like 20, 30 years, took video recordings of them along the way, and was able to relate back to ones that failed and like how they were in the beginning and draw like really strong conclusions about like these leading indicators. One of the biggest indication of the relationship was going to fail was anything that resembled contempt. That was the word. Anything that resembled that, like eye rolling, that sort of stuff, it's like game over, you know?
Totally.
But dude, this was awesome. This was super, super helpful. I think that one of the biggest takeaways for me is that like, even when you're at the level of game that Robbie is at, like this stuff is still really, really hard. And ultimately, it seems like the thing that you remember a lot more than whether you had additional sex or whatever is you remember how you felt about yourself on the way out. Right. And, mm-hmm. and I think that's the piece that actually matters more than anything here.
100%. It's, you know, your relationship with yourself you know, operating from a place of self-respect and integrity, and you know, just knowing that, like, all of the other sort of bad feelings are going to pass, right? Like, you're going to get over the girl. You're going to meet someone else. And you're the one who gets to, you know, either look in the mirror and be like, I like the guy I see. I like how that guy behaved when he was, you know, faced with a really difficult situation. And that's what builds confidence. That's what ultimately positions you to find the highest quality companions.
For sure. Could not agree more. And shout out to the Inner Confidence community, especially Ford and you guys who listen to me bitch my ass off on Monday. I love you guys. Right. Dude, good stuff, buddy.
It's been awesome. Thanks for pulling this stuff out of me.
Yeah, for sure, buddy. Peace.
All right. See ya. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you're new to the show and digging our content, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, wherever you listen or watch. But if you're not really digging it, go ahead, just don't leave us any review at all. That'd be great. If you're feeling a little bit stuck or you just want to optimize and step up your game, we've opened up a few spots in our Inner Confidence community. We're accepting applications if you want to join our select group of men and experience the radical power of accountability, cross everything off your sexual bucket list, and just become a beast who gets more stuff done. To learn more and apply, go to start.innerconfidence.com.